ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
त्रं पुष्पं फलं तोयम् यो मे भक्त्या प्रयच्छति तदहं भक्त्युपहृतम् अश्नामि प्रयतात्मनः।
If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, a fruit or water, I will accept it. So these texts between 26 to 34, they are discussing about the superiority of bhakti. So we are going to have very wonderful verses from this verse onwards. They are all going to speak about the superiority of bhakti over all other previous methods. Ekatvena pritaktvena bahudha vishatomakam. So till the previous verse Krishna has been discussing about them. Now from here onwards he is talking about the superiority of bhakti. Here in this verse Krishna is teaching us how he wants us to deal with him. Because we don't deal with everyone in the same way. So if you want to strike a relationship with a big person, then there is a particular method of welcoming him, inviting him to your house and making some arrangements accordingly to bring that person and offer proper respects to him. In the same way, Krishna is also telling us how he wants his devotees to worship him. Or in other words, how any conditioned soul can strike a relationship with Krishna. You see, when the parents give the daughter in marriage, when the son-in-law visits home, he is offered very special respects, isn't it? He is offered very special seat and a very special type of delicacies are prepared at home. And the whole house is decorated. And many efforts are made to make him happy when he comes. So even for an average human being, if so much arrangements are made, if it is with one son-in-law, what is the case of the Prime Minister of India coming to Pune? He is coming, how much arrangements they make, isn't it? They make barricades and roads are decorated with flags and festoons. Everywhere there is music going on and so many things like that. So when Lord has to be welcomed, certainly one might expect that one has to make very gorgeous arrangements for the Lord to come. But we find in this verse, Lord is not saying anything so demanding. Even when you have to invite Prime Minister, they spend lakhs, several lakhs of rupees they must be spending to welcome PM of India. But when Lord comes, what he demands is something very simple. He is saying, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam Yome Bhaktya Prachati. So Lord's demand is very simple. Anybody can fulfill his demand. Even the poorest man can fulfill his demand. Prabhupada says, how difficult it is to get a leaf. If you go and pluck a leaf from a tree, you may say somebody will object. But if you say, I am offering it to God, nobody will object. Like if you are plucking some tulsi leaves to offer. So if somebody says, I can't get leaf, at least a cup of water. As he says, patram, pushpam, phalam, toyam, flower or fruit or water, a leaf, anything can be offered. So Lord makes a very simple demand. In fact, Lord gives us a very easy way by which we can begin rendering some kind of devotional service to him. Because love, when we say love, love means exchange of something. Love is not just something in the mind. When it comes to God, many people say that we also love God. We also have devotion for Him. But there is nothing. Prabhupada is saying, in the ancient times, it was very traditional that everyone would give charity. Giving charity, even a poor man would give charity according to his earning. And needless to say about the kings who would give abundant charity. They would give to all the people visiting their court, brahmanas and other people visiting. Pearls and rubies and jewels and clothes and elephants and horses and cows and what not. They'd be giving so many things in charity. And the king would perform yajna. And the common people would perform also yajna in a small way. So yajna, dana, tapa, these things are very common in the Vedic times. So one can claim to be religious if one is doing that. But today in the modern times, many people say that I have devotion to God in my heart, in my mind. So they don't give a single penny to God. In fact, many people even go through the temple, they sometimes may salute God and go, but then they don't give anything. Actually, one should express one's love for God in a very tangible way. That's very important. In fact, Srila Prabhupada said in San Francisco when they established the Jagannath Baladeva Subhadra deity, Prabhupada told all those people, they were all actually hippies and many kinds of different kinds of people. And Prabhupada told all of them, you should never come here to meet Lord Jagannath without anything. You should always bring something. You should bring a fruit or a flower or something for the Lord. So one should feel that I am going to meet the Lord in the temple. I am going to meet my eternal friend. I am going to meet the most dearest person in my life who is residing in this temple. That should be the mood. Many times when people go to temple, they are going in an asking mood, not in a giving mood. They go to the temple or when they are passing through the temple, they think, oh, now I have a very great demand of this particular thing. Some or other I have to fulfill this, I have to get rid of this, or I have to do that. So then they go to temple to demand God something. In fact, they think of God only when they have some demands. Then they go to temple. So one should have the opposite mood. If you say you love someone, you don't go to demand from them. You are supposed to give them. You are supposed to do some sacrifice for them. Is it not love? Does it not imply sacrifice? Love implies sacrifice. Sacrificing something for the beloved. You will see that every person who claims that they love someone else, they always sacrifice something. Parents sacrifice something for the children. Husband sacrifice something for the wife, or wife sacrifice for the husband. In this world, wherever we claim love, there is some kind of sacrifice. There may be little pain also in that. Pain involved in that. So you may wonder, what is the pain involved in this sacrifice? Oh, it is so easy for me. I'll just pluck a tulasi leaf and put it before Krishna. That's it. And it is so easy. It can involve pain. Let us see how. When we talk of offering to Krishna, when Krishna says this, He wants to take into account all living beings, from the most poorest, from the most richest, all living beings. He wants everyone to offer Him something. So He is saying that you can offer a leaf or water, flower and all these things for the poorest man. Because the poorest, very poor man who doesn't have anything, can at best only offer these things. But one who is rich is supposed to offer according to his pocket. He is supposed to offer according to his earning. Because Krishna not only sees what you give Him, but He also sees how much we hold back. Like I was telling you some time ago, the story of Jesus. Jesus was watching that old woman coming and offering 1 rupee coin. And then some another wealthy landlord came and he also offered some 1,000 rupees. But then Jesus was very impressed with this old lady. Because she had given her whole day's earning to Jesus, to Lord. So Jesus observed that. Whereas the old man, for him 1,000 rupees was nothing. It was paltry amount. So in this way, Lord also sees how much painstakingly a devotee offers. Painstakingly in the sense that how much a devotee wants to give as much as he can in Krishna's service. So the principle is opulence for the Lord and austerity for oneself. This is actually the principle. Actually, there is a very fundamental underlying concept behind offering these things to the Lord. That is, to understand that Lord is the enjoyer and I am the servitor. Lord is the proprietor and I am his servant. So these modes, which are most important for the living entity to cultivate, can be very easily cultivated when one offers these things to Lord. Just like, how can one offer these things to the Lord? So Lord appears as Archa Vigraha, as deity in this world. So he appears as Archa Vigraha and he also appears as the mantra, or the holy name. So you will see in our deity worship we perform so many intricate pujas while offering anything to the Lord. While entering the puja room, there is a particular kind of mantra is there. And after entering, you have to give asana for the Lord to accept. Then you offer him bhoga. And after him bhoga, you give toothpick for washing the mouth. Then you give him a bed to take rest. So the Lord is given exactly treatment like that of a king is given. If you see a king living in a palace, how is he given treatment? In the same way. In many places, the people even take Lord for a procession around. In South India, if you see Sri Vaishnava, the Lord is like a king. Even there are three types of walks that the Lord shows. One is like a very majestic walk. So Lord will move from one place to another, and then he moves from one place to another. You will see that Lord has a very majestic walk. Sometimes he is taken on the back of a huge horse, or a big elephant, or on the Garuda, or in various vahans, every day on different vahans. So Lord deserves this and much more than this. So in this way we give opulence to the Lord by decorating him very gorgeously, as attractively as possible. So Lord should look very attractive. The kind of garments we offer him, the jewelry we offer him, and garlands that we painstakingly prepare to offer on his body. So we take effort to decorate him instead of decorating our own body, by which we realize that Lord is actually the enjoyer. I am not the enjoyer. Every day, any average man or woman, every day we go in front of the mirror and check whether we are becoming more younger or becoming more beautiful. But actually, even our body only gets older and older. It doesn't get younger. So no matter how much we decorate our bodies very nicely, we can never become the enjoyer. We will see that the suffering only is increasing more and more. So one understands this principle that Lord is the enjoyer. Let me decorate him very nicely, very attractively. Lord is the most beautiful. Lord's beauty never perishes. Lord's position never diminishes. So that is one principle. And also by offering all the items to Lord, we agree that he is the owner. Just like in Bali Maharaj's case, Bali Maharaj did not know that the beautiful Brahmana boy who came as a dwarf was actually Vishnu. He didn't know that in the beginning. Everyone in the assembly, their pride was diminished by seeing this effulgent Brahmana coming with a beautiful umbrella. But Shukracharya knew that. So Shukracharya told him that this is Sakshat Vishnu. Don't offer him any benediction. Don't offer him anything in charity. He will take away everything. But then he had already promised him that I'll give you 3 steps of land, and he didn't want to go back in there. If this is Vishnu only, then everything comes from Vishnu or Krishna. Then let it all go back to him. Just like when you are taking a dip in the Ganges, you have seen people taking water in their hands and offering back to Ganges like that. A small quantity of water, and we offer it back to him, back to the Ganges. Similarly, everyone possesses something which has been actually taken from the Lord. We have borrowed it from him. So Bali Maharaj was clear in that philosophy. He said, although I am possessing some things, if Lord takes them all away, it is his property. What am I going to lose? He gave me and he is taking back. And in fact, he is the possessor of everything. He is the proprietor of everything. He is the ultimate Swami. In this way, he gave all his wealth to Lord Vamandev and became very glorious by giving. One may wonder that when I give something to somebody, then my treasury will become less. Then I will become short of wealth. So we are always afraid of giving to others. Some people are so much afraid of giving to others, they become habituated to not give anything. They only know to take from others. In fact, one man who slipped and fell off into water from a boat, so other friends wanted to help him. They told him, please give your hand, they said. He said, no, I won't give. He was hiding both his hands like that. The other friend told him, this fellow has no habit of giving. So don't ask him, give your hand. You show your hand and ask him to take it, immediately he'll grab it, he said. Take my hand, he said, immediately grab it. So people are like that. So people think, if I give, I will lose. That's a fear many people have. But with Krishna, it's just the opposite. If one gives, how much can they give with our two hands? And we have just grabbed a little portion of God's property and holding it and thinking it to be ours. Only that much we can give it back. Maybe we not even give that much, maybe we give a fraction of that to Him. And when He wants to give in return, we have no two hands to hold. He can give it, if Vishwarupa gives, with His Vishwarupa body, if Lord gives millions of hands, we have no ability to accept when He wants to give. Lord can give, like Lord gave to Sudama, Lord gave to so many of His devotees. If Lord wants to give, He can give. In fact, even for Bali, the Lord gave him so much abundantly in return. The Lord gave Bali Maharaj the Sutala planet, which is said to be as good as the heavens. And Lord Himself became His Dwarapala, standing there. So nobody loses by giving to Lord. We don't lose anything. That's why, by decorating the Lord with all this paraphernalia, and by offering all the property that we have in the Lord's service, in this way, one gives up the tendency for enjoyership and proprietorship, which are the two deep-rooted tendencies of conditioned souls. And most importantly, it's not that we become detached from the world, in this way we become serene and neutral. No. Because we are offering it to Krishna, by that we develop love also for Him. That's the beauty. Because in the exchange of love, there are six kinds of principles explained by Rupa Goswami. Dadati, Pratigrihnati, Guhyamakhyati, Prichati, Bhungte, Bhojete, Chaiva, Shadbirpriti, Shadvidam, Priti Lakshanam. So Dadati, so we give the bhoga to Krishna, and then Krishna accepts it, and then He gives prasadam back to us. So we express our love for Him by offering bhog to Him. And He gives His mercy to us by offering prasadam back to us. Because if you give anything to one who is very dear to you, they will never give an empty box back to you, isn't it? If you are putting something in a box, some chocolates, and you gift it on a birthday to somebody, next morning, do you think they send back the empty box to your house? They also say, oh, my friend has given so many chocolates. And they're very happy. And they will also think, what can I give my friend? And they will think of some item which is very dear to you. They'll put that in that and they'll give it back to you. So similarly, the bhoga is a medium by which we can offer our surrender to Krishna and our love to Krishna. And Krishna uses the same thing to put His mercy back in that and give it back to us. So when we accept that mercy with great faith, we will see that the mercy works. Anybody who eats prasad, they become free from all the demoniac qualities. Krishna is explaining in the 16th chapter, divine and demoniac qualities, daivi sampat and asuri sampat. So all one's asuri sampat will gradually dwindle, they'll go away. When one eats prasad and one becomes a very sweet devotee, always developing a liking to chant Krishna's name and developing a liking to serve Vaishnavas, developing a liking to hear about Krishna, chant about Krishna, and all these things, where they come from? By consuming prasad, which is mercy of Krishna. So Lord actually gives back also, dadati pratigrihnati. Lord also gives back the mercy. And guhyam akhyati prichati. And a devotee also should go in front of the Lord and offer his confidential prayers to Him, submitting himself, submitting oneself at the feet of the Lord. And Prabhupada explains in many pages how one should offer. One should take a very humble stand. Once you tell the Lord that I am very insignificant, I am very puny, and the material nature is very powerful, and the material nature is controlled by you, the whole material nature is working under your direction, and who am I? I am an insignificant soul. So So I want to become your devotee and surrender. Without your help, I cannot cross over this material energy. Please protect me. So this is one prayer. Like that, many prayers one can offer. In fact, one can give a daily account to the Lord. What one is doing, how one is leading Krishna conscious life. One can. Prabhupada says, don't feel that your speech will be like a babyish speech. There's nothing wrong in that. Even if you're just like a baby is blah, and blah, 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 is saying something. Although you don't understand much, parents are still happy. That the child is trying to say something. Very soon he will learn to speak proper words. Isn't it? Avachan Prabhupada's realization of that. In the same way, when we also go and say some prayers to the Lord, Lord accepts that also, very gratefully. That's the meaning of Gukhya Markyati Prachati. You go and express your mind to the Lord. Tell Him that I am trying to surrender in some way. I am facing these difficulties. Please help me. Please help me to become a better devotee. And the Lord also will give inspiration from within the heart. He will give us clues by which how we can protect ourselves in devotion service. In this way, Prabhupada explains, even amongst businessmen, when they want to do some business, when they get their clients, or when they get to a very, very special big customers, sometimes they take them to a big hotel, like some star hotel or something. First they feed them sumptuously. And while eating, then they have a business transaction. They talk about the deal. They talk about the project, they talk about the deal. Also they exchange gifts. Like this man from the company may give some gifts to them, and then he will also bring some gifts and give. So these things are there in dealings between any friends, which develop actually affinity between one another. And the same principles are applicable if one wants to develop love for Krishna. It's possible for developing love. And in this way, anyone in any part of the world, in any country, any place, one can develop love for Krishna by offering in this way. And Prabhupada says, and when we are offering like that, if you place some choicest object, choicest flower or fruit to Krishna, then Krishna will be even more pleased. Why choicest? Choicest means something which you like very much. Like for example, you go to the market, all the apples are being sold in the market, and you see a very nice apple, really very high quality apple. And when you see it, you should feel, oh, this is so nice, let me pick up this apple and offer it to Krishna, because it is so wonderful. Once you feel like that actually, for offering to Krishna. Similarly, you see a nice flower, you see a fully blossomed rose flower. So as soon as one sees it, one should feel how nice it will be if I can make a garland of the roses and put it for Krishna. So that's why choices he says. Generally what we do in our material life is the choicest thing we offer to one whom we love. Like boy may offer to your girlfriend. Prabhupada gives an example. So all we need is a change of consciousness. When you say choicest thing, you think, oh, she likes it or he likes it or they like it. I will take it. So whenever you see the objects, we immediately remember the near and dear ones. At once. I remember, isn't it? Even in the market also. If you go, if the mother or father goes to market, they will see, like they see Bendy. Oh, my son likes Bendy very much. Isn't it? Or will they see any sabji they see? Today the sabji is fresh, available, let me take for my son. So it's very easy for one to remember the near and dear relative. In the same way, one should remember the Lord and offer Him the choicest things. Choicest flower or choicest fruit. Then in this way one will develop more attraction, because this helps in actually enhancing our consciousness of Krishna, because we know that we are actually purchasing it for Krishna. The consciousness is actually very important, that we are actually doing it for Krishna. Actually we do for everyone in this world. This is not a new thing. Only when it comes to Krishna we don't do it. We do for everyone else. For our friends we write birthday cards, we make birthday gifts. We want to give them a suspense visit and give them suspense gifts. We do all that with our material friends and near and dear ones. Parents never forget to call their children on phone on their birthdays. Never forget. I've seen practically all students tell me. Only when it comes to Krishna we don't express our love. We are completely stunted in our growth. That's because actually we become very materialistic. So if one learns from Krishna himself, like Krishna is telling here, this is the way you can express your love for me, by offering the choicest things to me. And while offering the choicest things to Krishna, one should not use things for one's own sense gratification, knowing well to whom all the wealth of this world belongs to. As it is explained in the Ishopanishad, as Krishna says, as it said in Mantra 1, Ishavasyamidam sarvam yatkincha jagatyam jagat. It's a very deep verse. Tena taktena bhunjita magrida kasya siddhanam. He says, everyone in this world should only accept his own quota, whatever minimum he needs. Knowing well, and he should not take beyond his quota, knowing well to whom everything belongs to. Like that. So this is the mood in which a devotee should actually spend his life. A devotee is not supposed to spend his life very lavishly wasting all the resources of material nature for one's own enjoyment. Like if you see, everyone living in the world, as they grow higher and higher in opulence, they want to enjoy the opulence of the world. Recently one boy was asking this question, that you know, why do we waste so much money in building these marble temples, big marble temples for God? We can have a small temple under the banyan tree, you know, small, just like for Ganesh we make a temple. Either make a small temple, people passing by can do like this and go. Why do you need a big temple for God? So I was asking him, okay, after you become an engineer, you know, if you are earning some, say, 10,000 rupees, what kind of house you will take? So he said, of course, one-room kitchen house, and I may go probably in a bike. And if you earn 20,000, will you go in a bike or you will... Oh, if I earn 20,000, probably I will think of a car. After that, I will have a Maruti and I will have a little bigger house. Instead of one-room kitchen, I may have, you know, 3 BHK or 2 BHK, whatever. And I will have a bigger house naturally. And then if you gradually become richer, you become 40,000, 50,000 you are earning. Then what will you do? Oh, then it's better to have our own bungalow, you know. Why to worry about living in a flat and having a neighbor living next to you? We can have our own bungalow. No troubles. And then I won't be even driving the car. I will have a servant also who will drive me and I'll sit on the back side. I will have good fun. So in this way I went on telling him, then afterwards you set up your own business, you earn monthly some 3-4 lakhs. My 5 lakhs. What would you do? So, in this way he said, I will expand my business and then I will set up some people and I don't have to work very hard. I will, you know, I will enjoy this, enjoy that, he was saying. Then I was asking him, that as we increase in our position, as the salary increases, money increases, naturally we also increase our facilities. God is the richest person in the whole creation. He is all rich. So, even if you make a huge gopuram for him, you know, 1,000 feet high or 2,000 feet high, still it is not enough, because our earth is like a small sand particle for him. Even the whole globe, if you take, the whole globe is like a small sand particle for him. If you see from the top perspective of God, earth planet has nothing. Earth planet is just like a small dust particle floating in space, suspended in space, and there are innumerable planets like earth all over floating. And what kind of temple can we make for God and to satisfy him? Actually, you can't make any kind of temple for him. Still, we try our best to make whatever is possible within our reach to make opulent temple for him. And we decorate his body with gold and jewelry because he is the greatest person. But actually, many people don't have actually faith in God, first of all. That's why they cannot accept this fact. Actually, many people say, why God needs all this? It's simply out of envy for God. First of all, they don't even believe that God exists. So when a devotee understands how great is Krishna, then he will be happy to see a beautiful temple for the Lord, where Lord is sitting in the asan, like you see in Juhu, Rasbihari. Lord is sitting, it's a very majestic, very beautiful asan, very beautiful domes they are made for the Lord to sit. Lord is very majestically sitting. And he is the supreme enjoyer, he deserves that seat. In fact, that is insignificant offering that from our side, what we offered for him. And also people say, okay, you offer him big temple, but what is the benefit? Who will benefit from that? Simply sitting, making the Lord sit there. This is all because of short-sightedness, that a man is unable to appreciate these things. When Lord is sitting on the Simhasan, And all the people come in front of him, bow down to him, salute him, circumambulate him, offer flowers to him, fruits to him. They take leaps and bounds in their Krishna consciousness by offering these things to the Lord. And besides that, by hearing about the Lord, how he is the enjoyer, he is the proprietor, and the living beings become free from all vices, the kama, krodha, the lobha, everything. They become pure hearted. So one may not be able to see the long term benefits that all the mass of population is going to get by a beautiful temple that is built for the Lord. But people who are short-sighted, they think, why don't you feed the poor, why don't you feed the needy, why don't you give uniform clothes, why don't you do some boring water facility for the general population, why don't you build a school or a hospital. That is done by hundreds of people. There is no death of that. Everyone is doing that. Because the conditioned soul is blind to see the soul, he can only see the superficial things. And even if you do all these so-called social welfare activities, you are never going to change the material world. The world is never going to change. The world is a place of suffering. And you just can't change it. No matter how much you endeavor, giving all these facilities is going to remain the same place. But if you make such a wonderful temple where people come together and surrender to God, then they can reform their heart. And it's like actually helping a prisoner to go out of the jail. Which is better? If you find some thieves in the jail, you give them, they are wearing long strips. You have seen people wearing this? Yeah. You say that, what is this dress you are wearing? I will give you a more decent shirt. You give them a more decent shirt to wear. You give them more better quality of food to eat. Because they are not getting good quality food. You give them better quality of food to eat. And they are sleeping in a mosquito ridden place, so give them some Odomos or something to apply on their body. Isn't it? So helping a prisoner in the jail to be more comfortable will only make him stay there. It's foolishness. We should help a person to get out of the jail. Person is suffering in the jail, he's a rascal, he's a rogue, he's a pickpocketer. He has done some blunder because of which the government has put him inside. So we should help him how he can go out. We should teach him to obey the government. God is the supreme government. Like India has the Indian government, similarly, the universe has a universal government, which is a cosmic government. And who is heading the cosmic government? The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna himself, is heading. Just like India has got Indian penal code, the universal government has got its own rules. It has got its own rules. Laws of death, which nobody can surpass. Law of disease. Law of old age. No one can surpass these things. So every one of us in the jail, we are suffering like anything. So we should help people to get out of this material existence, to go back to God. That's like helping a prisoner, teach him and reform him, help him to become pure so that he can go out of the jail and become an ideal citizen in the country. So he doesn't have to come back to jail anymore. In the same way, Krishna is giving here a clue how one can offer such simple things as a patram, pushpam, phalam, toyam, such easy things by which one can reform one's heart very easily. That is why bhakti is called as very simple. Devotional service is called as very simple because of this. Because you don't need any great ingredients. Even for the devatas worship, the ingredients are very costly. The kind of devatas worship, if you see, those who perform worship to devatas, they spent a lot for that. Prabhupada explains that in one of his lectures. About even for Durga worship and even for the other devatas worship, the procedures given are very detailed in the Vedas, in the Puranas. What are the different ingredients that should be present for performing sacrifice and performing puja for the devatas. Whereas Krishna demands very simple things. But there is one very essential ingredient that he is demanding here while offering these things. If it were so easy, anybody can pluck a leaf and offer it to him, isn't it? He is saying, tadaham bhakti upahritam ashnami. He says that when you offer these things to me, one should offer with bhakti, love, devotion. Two times he uses the word bhakti. Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhakti upadratam. So two times he stresses it, which means that he is emphasizing on bhakti, devotion. Should be offered with devotion. Actually, we can also see in our practical life, if somebody sacrifices something for us, we greatly appreciate it. Like if somebody remembers your birthday and has kept a gift for you and offers you, how do you feel? Isn't it? If somebody remembers to give you the right thing at the right time. You feel so much joy. Like that. If it is given with a selfless attitude. But if anybody gives you anything with a motivation, then you don't appreciate. Just like politicians get many, many gifts. They get a lot of gifts. Practically everyone, all companies go and offer them so many gifts. With the idea that, you know, we put some gifts and keep him ready. Whenever we need, we can use him. So they use them as machines. Like MLA machine, MP machine. You give them gifts when somebody comes, whoever comes to post. You give them gift and keep them. And win their goodwill and keep them ready. And then the right time comes when you have to do some fraud, then you can go to them. Okay, sir, please help me now. We remember we are the same one who gave you a gift that time. Now we want help from you. And people do it so openly. We sometimes feel surprised how both the parties don't feel shame. Isn't it? These people go and offer gifts and they also accept it. And they also know why they are giving gifts. Everyone knows. What is the meaning behind it. So if somebody behaves with us like that, it's really not at all appreciated. But you know which are the people who actually love you. Like mother's love towards a child. So when somebody loves you and offers you without any expectation, that love really touches your heart. If somebody tells you that, I saw this beautiful golden pen in the market. Gold color pen. It was so attractive that I thought it is just fit for your pocket. Please take it and comes and gives you. So you ask, so what do you want in return? I don't want anything. I just wanted to gift you. So then one feels very nice. This person has done without any expectation. I said that kind of gift is very, very rare in this world. Similar, Krishna also says, you should offer it in devotion. Not like a jnani who wants moksha. Not like a yogi who wants some siddhis. Not like a bhogi who wants some bhog in return. Don't offer me all these things with that kind of intention. Offer me with pure bhakti, with love and devotion. So Krishna is hungry for our bhakti, not for our food. Because he is the annadhata, annad bhavanti bhutani. All the food comes from him, all the grains come from him. All the grains, cereals, fruits, minerals, everything comes from Krishna. So what will he do with the food? So Krishna is hankering for all these eatables from his devotee. Is exactly like the hankering of food of a father from the hand of his own child. Sometimes the children, when they are eating the food, you know, sometimes the mother or father will go and beg them, you have seen? Please give it to me a little bit, no? Or you put it in my mouth. Sometimes the child will take and put it in the mouth and give a little bit in the hand. Parents feel great joy that, you know, my child gave it to me. Similarly, Krishna has given everything to the living entities, take it. And then if any living entity realizes that everything has been given to me by Krishna, let me offer something back to him. And Krishna joyfully accepts that. As a reciprocation of love, he accepts that when somebody gives. Actually, he doesn't need it. He doesn't need any of this thing. He doesn't need garments. He only produces all the clothes. All the textile mills, they get clothes from Krishna only. Isn't it? How do they produce textiles? All kinds of garments, all kinds of ornaments. Where are the ornaments coming from? The metals are coming from earth. All the foods, food items, everything is produced from him. But if somebody, that is why the love element is very essential when it is offered. So when we offer bhoga, every day when we offer bhoga, it's very important that we put as much devotion which is at our disposal. Whatever best devotion we have, we should put it there. And because we don't have so much devotion, that's why we offer it to the Guru, and then Guru offers it to Prabhupada and others. So one should try one's best to offer one's devotion. Further, one certainly needs to have some understanding of Krishna, his nature, and Krishna's compassion upon living beings, everything. You know this song, very famous song, you know? Manasa deha graha yokichamo arpilu tuva pada nanda krishna. Sampade vipade Jivane Marane. Yeah. So if you see in that song, and there's one more song, in two songs, the Acharya say that, my dear Krishna, I am giving all my property to you, my manasa, deha, geha. Geha means house, my deha means body, my manasa means mind. I am offering everything to you. You take all this property and keep it with you. And then in return, what do I want only you. I don't want anything in return. So it's a great deal that one can do with the Lord, because we are very insignificant and small. But Lord is actually Lakshmipati. He is the Lord of everything. He is like a millionaire. See, if a very great millionaire tells you, he is the richest man in the whole world, and he tells you, if whatever you have, you give it all to me, and I will give you whatever I have, I will give it all to you. Isn't that a good deal? Isn't it? What we have is so small, it's so tiny, and he is having everything. Only thing is, you need faith. You need faith in that person. Yes, I will give it all to him, and he will give it all to me back. So that's what actually is really manasa deha geha yokichamor. Yokichamor means everything that I have. He says that I am offering it to you, my dear Lord, with complete faith, devotee's offering. So this kind of faith is required. One time Arya Samaji person came to Prabhupada and he was asking Prabhupada, if there are at all any Arya Samajis here, please don't feel offended. Because in India we have all classes of philosophers practicing. And the Arya Samajis actually do not believe in idol worship, because they feel that why to make a form of God, and they believe in impersonal worship. So one such person came to Prabhupada and asked, Samaji, the Lord, you are offering all these things to God, is he really eating? Does he eat it? And Prabhupada said, I am a fool, I don't know whether God eats or not, I have no idea. But I have to ask God only. If I ask him in Bhagavad Gita, but in Bhagavad God says, Ashnami, I eat, he says. So I accept it. I am a fool, I cannot understand whether he eats or not. But I believe in his words. Because nobody can speak better than him, truth. Neither you nor me is wiser than him. His words of Bhagavad Gita, which he spoke 5,000 years ago, and all humanity is talking and talking and talking about it. Now we are talking for 7 years on one verse each week. Lord's words are so potent. So Prabhupada said, I may be a fool, but I accept the Lord's words. And Lord says that I eat. And then Prabhupada put the question back to him. Should I accept Krishna's words that he eats? Or should I accept the words of a loafer like you? Prabhupada asked that. Why should I hear a... So let me hear the Lord's word. Lord says that I eat it. So now somebody may say, should we blindly accept that God eats it? Does he really eat it? Many people doubt it. If you go and keep the food in front of God, bow down, does he really eat it? Or is it our psychological feeling that, okay, now God has taken. So because all people are telling, we have to believe in it, you know, what to do. Okay, we take it back. We let us assume that it is prasad. Like the placebo effect, you know, placebo effect. Like placebo effect means sometimes somebody has sickness, you give them some tablet with some water or something, nothing inside. You tell him that this is a tablet for your stomachache, and your stomachache will be cured. Because of psychological feeling. So, like that, somebody may think that, you know, that simply we are keeping in front of God, who knows whether he eats or not. Our lack of faith is not at all surprising, because we are so much downtrodden in our bodily consciousness. It is not surprising that we cannot put faith in the Lord. Because in Brahma Samhita, it is explained, Angani yasya sakale indriya vrittimanti pashanti panti kalayanti chiram jaganti ananda chinmaya sadujvala vigrahasya govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. It is said the Lord's senses are all spiritual, and they are interchangeable. Lord's senses don't behave like our senses. Primarily, we have to develop faith that the deity is the Lord. And without developing the faith, we cannot develop faith that Lord takes prasad, that takes the bhoga. You see, man has created the television, isn't it? But if man has created the television, he can have a remote, what do you call that? You know, remote switch. So he can be sitting in one corner of the room, remote control, yeah. Say a remote control, you may be sitting in one corner of the room and you show the remote control and things are changing in the screen, isn't it? So you are sitting at a distant place and you are able to operate a TV like that. Similarly, Lord says, I have only expanded into material energies and spiritual energies. all over the creation. Bhumi Rapo Analovaju Kammano Buddhirevacha Ahankara. All these things are my material expansions. Everything. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, my intelligence, ego, everything comes from me. And also the spiritual world comes from Krishna. Everything comes from him. So if everything comes from Krishna, is everything not Krishna in one sense? So everything is simultaneously one and different from Krishna. This is most important to realize this point. Like Prabhupada's voice, when you hear the cassette, you feel as if Prabhupada is present there. Isn't it? When you hear his cassette, when you hear his cassette, you feel his presence very strongly. Although it is only voice of Prabhupada. So Prabhupada once told this, my cassette is my separated energy. And similarly, Krishna's separated energy is this material world. Separated energy. Now Krishna says, now you make my deity with all these dhatus, ashta dhatus are there. You can take any one of them and you can make a deity. You make a deity with that. And the Lord says, through the deity I can function. Goloka nivasati eva akilatma bhuto. Although I am residing in the spiritual sky, I will function through the millions of deities that are made by human beings and worshipped faithfully after performing pranapratishtha. So if we can control a remote, with remote control we can control a television from a distance with our mechanical techniques, can't Lord stay in the spiritual world and operate himself through the deities? Is it difficult for him? Why can't he do that? So he can have a spiritual medium. That's like, if I can have a material medium, for example, I am calling somebody from here. I want to call somebody, like if anyone of you here, you call your mother or father from here, they can't hear them. But then by using a mobile you can hear them. So a material medium helps you to get connected to them. Similarly, Lord can, in fact the Pancharatrika Vidhi, if you read that book, it says that Lord has many, many expansions in Vaikuntha. And one of the expansions of the Lord is also the Archa Vigraha. One of the five types of expansions is also the Archa. Archa means the Vigraha of the Lord. So we may see the deity and we may think that, no, I am very convinced that to the best of my eyesight, it is made up of glass, or is made up of marble, it's made up of wood or whatever the deity is made. Yes, your eyes cannot tell you anything more than that. But because what are our eyes made up of? Our eyes are made up of some flesh and blood and things like that, some lens, things like that, material things. So they can't give us any perception beyond that. But from a spiritual viewpoint, if you realize you are the soul, then you can also realize the deity is Krishna. So that requires faith. Yes, Krishna is a spiritual world, but he can also operate through his deity. He can behave exactly as Krishna behaves. So the deity, that's why he says, Angani yasa sakalendra vrityamanti. All the senses of the Lord are interchangeable. With one sense he can perform anything. Just like you see Vishnu from his navel, he brings out a lotus. And he gives life to Brahmaji. Is it not? Is it not a miracle? Is there anyone, any man who can do that? If you want a child, can any man produce a lotus and create a child in that? Without the help of woman, can somebody produce a child like that? That's why the Lord is special. So Lord says, my senses are so powerful, every sense can perform miraculous activities. We just can't imagine. With his leg, he just turns his leg away like this, as Trivikrama. And he just, touches the covering of the universe, which breaks, and then the water of the Viraja touches his feet, it becomes Ganges. So what miraculous activity is performed through his hands and legs. So we have to consider what is my body and what is Lord's body. Any one of us can extend our legs. How far can we extend? Of course the yogis extend. It is said the yogis, when they perform yoga, they can extend their hands to a faraway place, enter into some garden and pick up a pomegranate and come here. They can do that. This is called as, I think, prapti. Prapti, shita, vashita, like that, many things they have. But which yogi is there who can perform activities like Dr. Trivikrama? Who expanded himself and covered all the three worlds? So one has to have faith in the inconceivable potencies of the Lord. The Lord has inconceivable potencies. He can do miraculous activities. He can come. He doesn't need a mother and father to manifest. Like who is mother and father of Narasingadev? Somebody can say? Yes? Mother and father of Narasingadev. He was born to whom? He was born to nobody. He came from pillar. He is no mother and father. And though Krishna is born of Devaki and Vasudev, Lakshmidev just comes from pillar. And Varahadev comes from the nose of Brahma. Zoom, all of a sudden, comes and he assumes a big form. So one has to understand that Lord is not ordinary like us. He is inconceivable. So Lord does such miraculous activities, that's why he is called as Urukrama. Urukrama means one who does such. What is it? Was very nice verse.
Satam prasangan mamavirya samvido bhavanti hrutkarna rasayana katha tajoshanada shapavarga vartmani.
No, not this verse, that's another verse. There are two verses. One verse says, Bile bato urukrama vikramani. Urukrama vikramani. That verse also says, the Lord is a urukrama, means one who performs miraculous, inconceivable activities. A devotee stands seeing the way the Lord behaves in various pastimes. How the Lord comes? Lord came as Matsyavatar and he spoke Sankhya philosophy to Satyavrata. Have you ever seen a fish speaking philosophy? Lord can do that. Miraculous. So, when we tell these things to a materialist, he says, oh, all these things are, it's a fairy tale, it's a good tale. But then they talk about Lord's pastimes to be fairy tales, but they believe in many fairy tales which are proposed as theories and put in the textbooks and discarded like disposable napkins after some time. And again new theories keep coming afterwards. That they believe, yeah. They have a lot of faith in that. So Lord is very inconceivable. So he can manifest himself through the deity. That faith is required. That's why Prabhupada is talking about this Ashtami. Yes, Lord eats. Lord eats and he gives back. The bhoga becomes prasada. When a devotee bows down and offers the mantras with great devotion and faith, and when the Lord hears it, hears the mantras, so Lord is at once very pleased. Depending on with how much faith and how much love a devotee offers, the bhoga also turns into prasada accordingly, to that degree. So, sometimes Prabhupada would cook and Prabhupada would offer. Devotees say that don't ask us about the prasadam that Prabhupada would make. Don't even ask us, there is no words to describe in this earth. The prasadam used to be so delicious. If you put it in the mouth, it will just dissolve immediately. It's prepared so well. Occasionally Prabhupada would prepare also, to show his disciples. Otherwise he would prepare with so much devotion. Every time he would prepare for the Lord. So such devotees are aware that I am preparing for the Lord. Actually the process begins in the market itself when you go to buy the sabji. I am buying sabji for Krishna, so I should buy good quality one. While washing the sabji, while cutting the sabji, while cooking it, while offering it. In this way, the Lord gives us an opportunity to offer these different things to Him. And He mentions these things, patram, pushpam, phalam, toyam. All these things are sattvic ahar. There is no rajasic, no tamasic, no mansa. Somebody asked, is eggs all right? No. Eggs are not included in Krishna's list. Krishna doesn't include them in the list. So, no eggs, no meat, no fish. So, people in Bengal, they say it's a phalera jal. Jalera phal. Not phalera jal. Jalera phal. You know what is jalera phal? Yeah. They call it as a jalera phal. Very nice name, no? Name is very attractive. So they want to eat fish. So they are coining a new term. Similarly, those who want to eat meat, they don't call it a slaughterhouse. They call it as a Kalika Mandir. Nice. Call it Kalika Mandir, very sweet name, so that the cutting of the necks of the goats doesn't appear to be harsh. So we may call it by sweet names, but Krishna doesn't include those things in the list. He doesn't say you can eat fish or egg or meat or anything of that kind. He clearly says what we can eat. Patram, pushpam, phalam, these are the things we can offer. Some people ask, Prabhuji, I will offer these things only to Krishna, and then whenever we cook fish and all, we will eat without offering. Some people say like that. Actually, when we say that we love the Lord, then we should eat only those which the Lord accepts. Other than that, we cannot eat anything. According to Shastra, you should offer everything that you use. Even the medicine, according to Ayurveda, before you drink the medicine or eat the tablet, one should meditate on Dhanmantri, Vishnu form. One should remember the Lord. And then one should accept it. Yeah. Actually, there is a verse I don't have with me right now. Very interesting verse I got somewhere. It says, You have to think of different things, different lords. Like when you take the tablet, medicine, Ayurveda, you should think of Dhanvantri and meditate on him and say, my dear Lord, I am taking this tablet to cure my disease so that I will become healthy to serve you better. Neither one should take the tablet. Similarly, when one is traveling in water, one should think of Matsyavatar. Lord, it is said. Similarly, when one is doing Prayan, then one should think of Vamandev, it is said. Vamandev will take you quickly. There is a huge body. Similarly, for every activity, there are different expansions of the Lord's names that are given like that. In this way, a devotee does not use anything without offering it to the Lord first. He doesn't eat anything without offering it to Him first. So it's a very famous verse in Bhagavad Gita. Tadaham bhakti upavirtam ashnami prayatatmanah. So from one in pure consciousness who offers the devotion, accept it. We'll let us read one or two sentences from purport, purpose purport. If you see, page number 488, the first paragraph, somewhere in the fourth or fifth line, he says, one who loves Krishna will give him whatever he wants and he avoids offering anything which is undesirable or unasked. Thus meat, fish and eggs should not be offered to Krishna. If he desires such things as offerings, he would have said so. Instead, he clearly requests that a leaf, root, clover and water be given to him. In the next page, in the last part, what is the purport? He says, lacking senses, he could hardly be considered full in all opulences. He impregnates the living entities into the material nature. This is done by his looking upon the material nature. Krishna's hearing the devotee's words of love in offering footsteps is wholly identical with his eating and actually tasting. This point should be emphasized. Because of his absolute position, his hearing is wholly identical with his eating and tasting. So Papa is stressing on this point. Only the devotee who accepts Krishna as he describes himself without interpretation can understand that the Supreme Absolute Truth can eat food and enjoy it. So we cannot understand behavior on absolute platform. That's why when we offer the bhoga, bow down and we keep on offering prayer, as we advance in spiritual life, we will come to a platform of realizing I am the spirit and Lord to be the personality. And then in that reciprocation of love, we can clearly see that what I am offering, the Lord is eating. When Mother Sachi used to offer, Nimai Pandit used to come and eat. So she used to offer to her son, Nimai Pandit, and think of him in her mind and offer prayers. And then the food would disappear. He would actually eat it like that. Although he was far away. When Raghunandan Thakur offered to the Lord also, the Lord accepted him. So there are many occasions when the Lord either accepts the prasad or accepts the love of the devotee, the invitation of the devotee, like Sakshi Gopal comes to Vidyanagar, isn't it? He comes walking and Kshesar Gopinath, he steals for his devotee. So Lord has performed miraculous activities, like we see in Tota Gopinath, the Lord is sitting instead of standing in order to help his old devotee like Gadadhar Pandit to serve him. That's the only place where Krishna is sitting. Sitting and playing on his flute, like that. So the deities behave, the Lord is so much in a compact of love with his devotee that he can satisfy the devotee by manifesting from anywhere, any place. Like you see, Gopal Bhatta Goswami had the shaligram. From that the Lord appeared on Narsingha Chaturdashi day. Even today you can find the backside of the deity. It's like actually a shila. From shila the deities are manifested. It's like a swayambhu, naturally manifested. Because when Gopal Bhatta Goswami wanted to decorate the Lord with beautiful ornaments and beautiful dresses, so Radharaman is very famous in Vrindavan. Although the deities are very small, and because of that leela, the pastime, the deities are very famous because of that. Because the Lord manifested out of love. So if one very closely observes Radharaman, one can see a deep love of the Lord for his devotee, Gopal Bhatta Goswami. So Lord appeared like that. So the archa is actually non-different from the Lord. And this patram, pushpam, phalam, toyam, whatever Krishna says, we offer it actually to the archa vigraha. And by offering it on a regular basis, a devotee develops a devotional mentality as time goes on. Whoever it is, whether it's a housewife or a husband or wife or children, whoever it is, regularly those who worship the deities and offer obeisances and offer bhog, like he explains, to the best of the devotion, as time progresses, the hearts will be cleansed. And the loving attraction for Krishna will be aroused in the heart. So in this way, in comparison to all that, aham kutra aham yajna swadaham aham aushadam, he was explaining before, about the devata's offerings, Krishna explained. All these things are so difficult, but my worship is so easy, Krishna is telling. See, when people worship devatas, what they get in return, they only... that was a good point also. I have a point noted from the Acharya's commentary. See, they say, this is, I don't know which Acharya has given this comment, one commentary. The demigod worshippers work so hard and get birth and death as reward. But the bhakta offers a little flower and gets everything. He gets Krishna. Thus this verse describes pure devotion. You see, devotee offers very simple, but he gets Krishna himself. Whereas those are non-devotees, because of lack of faith, they don't get anything tangible. So I was hearing a lecture of Prabhupada in this connection. This Paksam Pushpam Phalam Toyam, he practically stresses on faith. You know, almost 3/4 of the lecture Prabhupada stresses on the faith. Of course, for each of these there are examples in Shastra. For who offered the lotus leaf and won Krishna, anybody knows? No. Who offered this tulasi leaf? Tulasi leaf. Yeah. Advaita Acharya offered tulasi leaf and invited Krishna to come here. Yeah. There's another pastime of tulasi leaf. Rukmini, yeah. In Rukmini Satyabhama, actually Rukmini had told that she will give, Satyabhama had told Narada Muni, Narada wanted to take Krishna with him, isn't it? And she had agreed. And then when Rukmini came, she cried. And then Satyabhama said, okay, I will not give Krishna, but I'll give equivalent to Krishna, I'll give you gold and ornaments. And he agreed. So they put them on a tulabar. Tulabar is, isn't it? Put them on a scale. On one side there was Krishna sitting, and on the other side she was putting all the ornaments. And even after putting so much of gold, tons of gold, still Krishna's weight was not reducing. And then finally when Rukmini came, she knew the trick. She just took one tulasi and put it on the other side. Immediately Krishna went like this. All right, yeah. So by offering tulasi, Krishna is very pleased. Krishna, that's the verse also, no? Tulasi dala matrena. You know that? Yeah, simply by offering a tulasi leaf, Krishna is very pleased. So we take some sandalwood pulp, mix it in tulasi, and then we offer it at Krishna's feet. Then we can win the heart of Krishna. Similarly, Pushpa was offered by Gajendra. Even in the most precarious situation, he offered flower. And Phalam, who offered flower? Fruit vendor offered to Krishna. Yes. Yeah. Also, flower was offered by Sudama also. He offered a beautiful garland to Krishna and Balaram, no? The floor is Sudama. He also offered flower, yeah. Mathura, yeah. When Krishna entering Mathura, yeah. And Toyam? Actually, Toyam is called as water, or even milk is included in Toyam. It was... Adhisattva offered Ganges water. And Krishna Leela, she offered... Putana offered milk. Of course, she came with the intention of offering milk. That's why she got a Dhatri's position in the spiritual world. So there are many examples for each of these. If you think deeply, you could come up with many, many examples. But all these things, Prabhupada says, should be done with faith, very great implicit faith. Shraddha is greatly stressed. See, in the path of bhakti, Shraddha is very much stressed. In the path of Jnana Marg, a lot of emphasis is given on speculative knowledge. And the path of yoga, a lot of emphasis is given on austerity. Like that. So in the path of bhakti, a devotee should have implicit faith. That's why we have to... Actually, this faith actually comes from associating with Mahabhagavats. Very exalted souls who have already developed loving attraction for Krishna. Their association is very important for us. So they travel worldwide and it's very difficult to get even a momentary association. So if one hears the voice of such an exalted soul, by hearing their kirtans and observing them and by following in their footsteps and following their instruction, then one can also develop that kind of faith. Hare Krishna. Any question? One question? What did he offer? Leaf, okay. Yeah, that's true. Eclipse, you are saying, no? Yeah. Some hodgepodge it appears like.
So it just kind of starts a string of,
yeah. Okay. See, as far as the solar eclipse is concerned, all of you heard his question? Everyone heard it? You were telling that the solar eclipse, how it happens, if you see with your telescope or something, we see the shadow behind, and so it appears that the way the solar eclipse takes place, what the scientists explain, appears to be true. This Rahu Ketu story. See, in the Shastra, there are many things which are allegorical and there are many things which are to be accepted literally. So, if you see, the Suryadev, for example, Suryadev's chariot, if you see, how it is explained, you will be amazed. The chakra of the wheel is explained by the number of days in the week, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and the rim is this, completely allegorical thing you will hear if you see that. Similarly, the Rahu, Shastra always talk of Soma, or Surya, or Rahu, so these are actually personalities, who are actually preserving deities of planets. For example, Sun is the preserving deity of my eyes. So now you may wonder, for my eyes, what is the need of a preserving deity? Because without the help of the sun, we cannot see anything. It's not possible. Even this light that powders are processing, that actually has been absorbed from the sun. That's why they are able to emit it now. Like that. So originally the light comes from sun only. So that means the ability for the eyes to see comes from the sun. Otherwise I can't even see my own hand. Similarly, the preserving deity of the mind is the moon. That's why on the full moon day, when moon is in the sky, there are many people who go mad, who go crazy. Especially those who are crazy, they become more crazy in the day. And mental hospital is saying they get more excited on the full moon day like that. So these preserving deities certainly have some influence and meaning, and we are seeing it practically in everyone's life. Like sometimes you see the lovers when they sing, they show a moon. So what connection moon has? Why they call honeymoon? Has moon got anything to do with married life? Why they say? Because it is connected to the mind. So they also don't know why they are showing the moon, because their minds are pulled by the moon. That's why they say like that. Similarly, Prabhupada explains about Rahu also. Rahu is an invisible planet, Prabhupada explains in his Bhagavatam purport. And Rahu also has got its rotation. Although it is not detectable without telescopes, there is a planet called Rahu. And Rahu actually, when Rahu comes between the earth and moon, there is a kind of eclipse that takes place. And how it is inauspicious is also explained. You will see that even I have seen, literally in my town, at the time of eclipse, those people who try to see it with a sunglass, simply to see with sunglass, some of them became blind. And in newspaper also they have given articles that, you know, those who saw the eclipse, you know, so many people have become blind. Solar eclipse, those you have seen. And as far as the mathematical understanding of this eclipse goes, it is not as simple as you are speaking here. You know Kepler's laws of astronomy? So when I first heard Kepler's laws, he made about 5-6 laws. And they are very impressive, you know. The laws of motion of you know, how the summer comes, how the winter comes, where the sun is, where the moon is, everything. Later on I came to know, all these calculations are purely based on mathematics. Only based on mathematics. Like what he does is, he takes the respective position of the sun and earth at different times of the year. You take their positions, respective positions, whatever is best, to the best of your ability you can measure like that. And then based on that he uses the mathematical calculation to show that because the calculation shows that this, it has to be summer here, it has to be winter there. It's purely based on mathematical calculation. It's not possible for an average man to go beyond this in the solar system and watch from a distance exactly what happens during grahan. Or even the movement of the planets and all. See, generally whenever we talk of astronomy, there is some common misconception. We generally think it's like playing with some, what is this, children play this now, what do you call it? Marbles. The planets are not so easy to perceive. Do you think that you take a telescope and go in the top and you can perceive everything so clearly like that? It's not as simple as that. You ask any scientist, you ask ISRO, you know, those who are working in space, ISRO and Bangalore, ask them, can solar eclipse be perceived from a distance? Like, you know, like they do the experiment in the laboratory, you know, you keep one football here, another football, you keep one candle, and you make the experiment and show that, you know, this is coming in between. See, that is something which you are trying to prove, what is your hypothesis. When you put a ball here, put a candle here, that experiment is very easy for you to observe as well as to do, because you are just proving what you have speculated. That's all. So that doesn't prove that your speculation is right. This is what scientists do always. Scientists speculate something about something and they prove it with simpler examples. And they show it in the laboratory. That is your sheer speculation. But how do you know it is true? You ask even the people in ISRO. You can ask them. So is there, can you show me in a telescope how the eclipse is taking place? Ask them. Yeah, yeah. That's a good point. So that prediction is called as anumana. For example, outside this room, you close all the doors and somebody is hearing this noise and you ask him, what is going on inside? So they may say, TV is going on. He may say, the TV is going on. And then he opens the door and sees that there is no TV, there are about 100 people sitting and hearing a discourse. So our speculations need not be right. See, two negatives make a positive. Correct? Two positives make a positive. So, when you do anumana, because these calculations are like this, this has to be like this, that becomes anumana, it's not pratyaksha. Pratyaksha means sakshat, you should see the truth, you cannot see it. You ask them to show it, they can't show it. But when you make the calculations like this, two negatives make a positive, two positives make a positive, I told you. Why, like for example, Rahu, the example, the Shastras talk about Rahu, which is going in between and just blocking the this thing. It is not exactly like some people imagine that Rahu is like a snake and Ketu is like this and it goes and eats it up, eating up a planet. Shastras never talk of such a thing. When we talk of Surya, Chandra and Shastra, Soma, they are actually personalities. Soma is actually a person. Similarly, Surya also is actually a person. There is a personality there who is actually the presiding deity of that particular planet. In fact, Shastras say every planet has a presiding deity. Yes. Yeah, like Bajaj, he is saying Bajaj company means Bajaj is a person. Like that. Yeah. Actually, if you want to even study more deeply into this, you study this Panchanga and, you know, when people study astrology more deeply, you will understand that these are all actually personalities. When we talk about, it's not that Shastras never talk about, you know, two planets colliding or engulfing one another. Such things are not spoken at all. Shastras, they don't speak of that. But sometimes we take the allegorical wordings and we try to take them literally and we get bewildered. What is this? As if, you know, somebody is saying that you know, some snake is swallowing the moon or something. That nothing of that sort is explained. If you go to Jyotisha people, you know, those who do Jyotish, they will tell you exactly. You can ask them. It's not the way that we are imagining. It's not like that. Prabhupada also explained about this Rahu thing in one of the purports I got. If you read this book, Vedic Cosmology, in the back side he explains about it. Yeah. Yeah, I can add it. Yeah.
And similarly, even Rahu, Ketu's position, their movements are given. And at any given eclipse, according to those calculations, they always come in the middle only of the
They come between the earth and the...
They are invisible, as you rightly
said. Yeah.
So, their positions are even given.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Achha, that is given in the Surya Siddhanta of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. We can show that section to him. He will be interested in that. It will be nice. Yeah. Jayadrath?
That day itself, after the death of Abhimanyu.
Yeah, yeah, Jayadrath only, yeah.
So he vows that by sunset, I will kill.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But at the break of the dust, he's not able to kill it.
Yes.
Kill him because he's not able to penetrate the
chakra. Yeah.
So Krishna, it said that Krishna arranges an eclipse.
Yeah.
He arranges an eclipse.
He blocked the sun.
He blocked the sun.
Yeah. With
so
his chakra.
After so many 5,000 years, one scientist, Yashpal, he's a very well known scientist. So he delved into it. I have his mind, he can understand you. So he delved into it. So he found that, according to scientific calculation, an eclipse occurred at that same time during that war at Kurukshetra. So if scientific calculations are wrong, so how did the scientist conclude that by mathematical calculation an eclipse occurred, which was actually duplicated by Supreme Lord himself? So how does this be explained?
So can you make it more clear? Last part.
Like a materialistic scientist, now we wanted to know the date, exact date.
On the day.
That eclipse occurred at that time.
Okay.
And he found that by mathematical.
It happened, is it?
That day itself was having an eclipse.
Okay. So what was your question, ma'am?
So, Shastra says that this eclipse was arranged by Supreme Lord.
Yeah.
To save his devotee.
Yeah.
And so how by scientific...
Actually, as far as I know, whether it is eclipse or not, I have not read, but I have read that Krishna blocked it with his chakra. He blocked the sun. See, it was, sun hadn't yet set, sun was about to set, and then Krishna thought that if Arjuna doesn't kill him, then Arjuna will let enter fire. So before the sun set, Krishna closed the sun with his Sushumna chakra. And then it appeared like as if sun had set. And then immediately Jayadrath came out jumping very happily, and then Arjuna killed him, and then Krishna removed the chakra. This is what I have read in Mahabharata. Yeah.
So how does that match with the
astronomy person? Now the scientists... Yeah, they can make calculations, say that on the same day there was solar eclipse. It could be. But there was certainly sun. There was sun and Krishna blocked it, according to Mahabharata. Isn't it all of you? You all have read the same thing, isn't it? Yeah. Huh? That the sun was blocked by Krishna with the chakra. Yeah. 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 So yeah, both could. He's saying both could be true also. No, actually, these astronomical calculations can be done for many, many thousands of years back also. Like the one which has done, it's not very difficult. We have Panchanga and all that, they can do that. They can go back in time and do that. But this pasam is true. This pasam of what Krishna does, blocking the thing, there are so many lessons that we learn from that. But as he said, you know, even both could be true. Even if the eclipse happened on that day, how does it matter for us? What matters is how Krishna blocked with the chakra and how he protected his devotee. Hmm? Yeah. Hare Krishna.